This is Cheetah Barre reporting from Cornell in Washington with the Hill to Hill podcast. Today we'll be speaking about the mental health crisis that is affecting U.S. Armed Forces veterans and active duty service members. In the past few decades, the U.S. has seen increasing poor mental health outcomes amongst its veterans and active service members. The crisis has become especially alarming given the rising rate of suicide amongst this group. Possibly due to their service experiences, U.S. veterans and active duty service members are dying of suicide at a rate of 20 per day. There have been more than 6,000 veteran suicides every year since 2008. In 2014, nearly 18% of those that died of suicide in the United States were veterans. Mental health issues of veterans are concentrated around only a few disorders, particularly depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse disorder, anxiety, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder. From 2010 to 2011, more than 1.1 million were diagnosed with at least one of the previously stated disorders by a Veteran Affairs patient-aligned care team. Veterans are especially vulnerable to dying by suicide compared to the general population. On average, suicide was 22% higher among veterans when compared to U.S. non-veteran adults. This is particularly true for male veterans, which were 19% more vulnerable to suicide compared to their non-veteran counterparts. Male veterans were also much more likely to take their lives violently via firearm injury compared to female veterans and their non-veteran counterparts. While older veterans aged 55 to 75 make up the greatest share of those dying by suicide, rates of suicide for younger veterans aged 18 to 34 are the highest, at 45 suicides per 100,000 of the population. Older veterans mostly represent those that have served during the Korean War, the Vietnam War, or the Gulf War, while younger veterans almost exclusively represent those that have been engaged during the War on Terror. A major factor contributing to the continuing mental health crisis in the armed forces is inadequate care provided by Veteran Affairs medical facilities. A majority of veterans report receiving minimally adequate care at VA facilities. Poor quality care compounded with very long wait times, which can stretch to be almost 4 months, have fed into an unsettling trend of former and active service members taking their lives in and outside of VA facilities. In April of 2019, three suicides occurred within a five-day period on the grounds of VA medical clinics. According to Richard Stone, the executive of the Veteran Health Administration, there have been more than 260 suicide attempts on VA property, 240 of which have been prevented. These disturbing events highlight the frustration felt by veterans concerning the service they are receiving or not receiving from the U.S. government. Unsurprisingly, due to poor service and hopelessness, many veterans do not seek out treatment at VA facilities. Many resort to paying out of pocket for health care or simply do not seek out health care at all. There has been increasing attention placed on veteran health care by Capitol Hill as a result of the alarming statistics and unfortunate events of the past few years. In the following interview, we will be discussing the current stigma around mental health within the military and the changing landscape of legislation concerning veteran services. Our interviewee will be giving us a personal account of his time in the armed forces and his opinion on policies aimed at addressing this crisis.
Hello, this is Claudia Kokoschka reporting for the Hill to Hill podcast. I'm joined here by Kenneth DeGrucci, a current active duty service member. Kenneth has just returned from a 9-month deployment with the U.S. military in the Horn of Africa. With him, we'll be talking about the mental health crisis within the armed forces and whether the U.S. government is equipped to deal with it. We'll be getting a service member's perspective on this issue from the inside and his opinions on how current policies are working and whether veteran health care will be changing in the future for the better. It's great to have you back home and here on the podcast, Ken. Would you mind introducing yourself to the public and about your role in the armed forces?
My name is Kenneth Nadella DeGrucci III. I enlisted in the New Jersey National Guard when I was still in high school. I went to basic training in AIT after I finished high school and then started college at Rutgers University, New Brunswick. I was a traditional drilling guardsman until February 4th of 2019, where I received active duty orders to the Combined Joint Task Force, Horn of Africa. There, my role was to do my job as a 13 Romeo, which is a field artillery firefinder radar operator. I deployed with a whole brigade combat team, the 44th Infantry Brigade Combat Team, 2nd Battalion, 113th Infantry. I was part of the amount of people that went to Mogadishu, Somalia. Military's role there was to help Somalia transition to a true government, and my role there was to help and assist the officers who were doing that and do any jobs that needed to be done. We had people that were doing reconnaissance. We had people that were doing security details, things of that nature.
Thanks so much. This is a conversation about mental health. I wanted to introduce some statistics concerning the crisis in the armed forces. A random report states that over 30% of veterans have experienced mental health issues or traumatic brain injury. Despite this, only half of those needing care for these conditions have sought it out. When veterans were asked about their barriers to seek out mental health care, among the top five reasons they reported were that it would either 1. Harm their career, 2. They could be denied security clearance, or 3. Their coworkers would have less confidence in them if they found out. Could you speak any truth to these claims, or have you noticed this kind of reasoning from your fellow service members, or have you felt it yourself?
That's very true. I feel like there's a really big stigma on having some mental health issues when you're in the military. People are going to think you're weak. People are going to think you're not tough enough to handle what you see and what you go through in a combat zone, and you don't want to be seen as vulnerable and not able to complete your mission, because the guy next to you, you trust him to be able to complete his mission and do his job without anything stopping him, like some like mental health issues. So you believe that should be expected of you. I feel like a lot of us believe, myself too, if I had mental health issues and I came forward with it, it would harm my career by, I'm in a combat arms position. If they found out that I have mental health issues, they would put me in a position where I would be less likely to have to fire my weapon, be engaged in combat, be actively engaged by the enemy by small arms fire or indirect fire. That's true for a lot of guys. I feel like there's guys there that do have mental health issues, but don't want to talk about it because they don't want to risk losing their position in a combat arms role and have to move something safer behind a desk, something like that. Okay, so for the security clearance thing, a lot of the jobs that do require a secret or top secret clearance, you would be seeing things that I guess could contribute to mental health degradation. So I could see how people might be concerned about that. They might feel like if they tell the US government or the VA or the military treatment facility that they feel that they have some mental health issues, that they would be not given that security clearance because they might feel that their mental health issues are rooted in what they saw from their security clearance. And what is your third claim?
That their coworkers would have less confidence in them if they found out.
100%. Especially you see this in the infantry. So if you tell this guy who seems like he's made of stone, his feelings are never hurt, and you tell him, hey man, I'm feeling down, you know, I don't know if I want to do this, you feel like this guy's going to think, I don't want to work with this guy, he can't handle it, he shouldn't be here, he should be out, he should be doing, you know, 42 alpha work, doing human resources work. They would lose trust in you, so you just like, you keep it down, you don't want your battle buddies to know that you're hurting for your own sake, but mm-hmm. I understand all those claims.
Mm-hmm. And the case is even that when veterans do open up and seek care, they're often met with poor outcomes. So the RAND report also says that slightly more than half of veterans who receive treatment get minimally adequate care. So Veteran Affairs has come under massive scrutiny in the past few years for a number of reasons, namely that they have very long wait times, a lack of quality care, and the requirement of driving long distances to be serviced at VA hospitals that would then be covered by TRICARE. In 2015, the Inspector General found that a VA hospital in Arizona was manipulating patient waiting lists to appear to have better waiting times than they actually did. An investigation found that the average primary care appointment wait time was nearly 115 days, 5 times as long as the hospital's administrators were reporting. The investigation also found that 1,700 patients were not placed on the official waiting list despite seeking out help and may have never received care. Does this disappoint you? Have you ever experienced this or heard of similar experiences from your fellow service members?
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. I mean, thankfully, I came home. Nothing's really wrong with me. I was injured. I got an injury on my toe. I broke my toe. And recently, I just tried to go see a primary care manager. And all I wanted to do is have it seen, have it reevaluated, make sure I'm still good to go. and I call the TRICARE health insurance. They have me going jumping through hoops, telling me who to call, where I can go. The two closest places to where I live are both an hour away. TRICARE has a different answer for you. VA has a different answer for you, what you're entitled to. It feels like no one knows what's going on. You just get fed up. You figure, I'll just deal with it myself. And for veterans or people that are still active duty that actually have even more serious injuries or mental health issues, they have to go through that because it's just so discouraging. The inefficiency, the lack of communication, it's all over the place.
So hopefully things are changing. The current administration has introduced new legislation concerning veteran health care called the Mission Act. This new legislation allows for veterans to increasingly seek care from the private sector and have it covered by their service-related insurance. If an eligible VA facility is more than half an hour's drive away for primary care, an hour's drive away for specialty care, and if wait times for a primary care appointment are more than 20 days, a veteran can seek out private care. Private care appointments would still need to be scheduled through the VA, and the veteran would need VA authorization to receive such care. How does this sound to you? Do you think this would help in addressing the mental health crisis in the armed forces as well as the general health crisis in the
Yeah, just having the private sector involved would be such a big help, because being able to see someone that's close to you, it just needs to get approved by the VA. It sounds like it would be a lot better. To me, at least, I would be much more motivated to go seek help for myself. And I'm sure it would be the same for a lot of other guys my age who know nothing about all the hoops we have to go through and all the stuff that we have to know if we want to go see a provider through the current system right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have faith that VA authorization to see a primary care provider would be speedy?
I have no idea. I mean, I would hope it would be, because that's, you know, being able to see a private sector, someone in the private sector, someone who's near you, it would just be so much more helpful. Mm-hmm. I would really hope it would be speedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your opinions and for your insights and for your personal experiences and the experiences of your fellow service members. That's all I have for you today. I really appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much, Ken. In conclusion, policies are being pushed forth to address the armed forces' mental health crisis. While these policies may improve wait times and increase geographic access to providers, it is uncertain whether the quality of care will fundamentally change at VA health facilities. It seems that while the mental health crisis is exacerbated by poor care, long waits, and lack of access, it is fundamentally rooted in the atmosphere of the military. Service members are reluctant to discuss and acknowledge their mental health difficulties for fear of being seen as weak or unfit for work. This stigma surrounding mental health allows conditions to get much worse before soldiers are forced to address their difficulties. This often leads to worsening PTSD, anxiety, depression, and even suicide. The policy reforms in the Mission Act do not address this problem, and little is currently being done in the armed forces to combat the stigma around mental health issues. It would be unrealistic to say that this atmosphere will change on its own. One could argue that appearing stoic is a fundamental expectation of working in an armed forces environment. Without structural change, it is difficult to see this stigma going away. Future policies addressing veteran mental health should prioritize encouraging soldiers to speak about their issues earlier, without fear of negative repercussions. This would help lessen mental health stigma and provide soldiers with care before their issues impede on their careers and their daily lives. Thank you for listening. This has been Claudia and Cheetah Berry reporting for the Hill to Hill podcast in Washington, D.C.